pray. Dear God, we are we're astounded this morning, Lord, despite all of the anxiety and the worry and the unknown around us, Lord. We are astounded by your grace, God. Captivated by the Son of Man who hung on a tree in sinner's stead, God. And for the Christian that is praying with me now, we know that our hope is so great because we believe in a great Lord, a great Savior, a great God who is totally in control of our days, Lord. And that is what gives us joy this morning, God. Despite the world around us that's just turning upside down, Lord, we beg you to let the peace of the gospel drench our hearts, Lord. Give us joy. Give us laughter because we know that you are making all things new. Lord, we love you. We pray for this time, God. We pray for Pastor Rodney as he preaches, that as we open the word together as a body here in St. Pete County and all over Utah and all over this nation, Lord, because we have so many people tuning in, God, as Christians and unbelievers alike are tuning into this sermon, God, we pray that you would work powerfully through your word. We love you. Teach us to love you better. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. It is great to worship together in this way. We're going to be in John chapters 14, 15 this morning. That's where we're going to be at. Jesus said in Matthew 28 to his disciples, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." Make disciples, teaching them to observe everything that I have commanded you. We are to be disciples who make disciples who obey everything that Jesus commands. So what is it that Jesus commands? That's what we're looking at. We've looked at Jesus' command to come to him, to believe in him, to find him, to meet him in his word, in the scriptures. Today I want to look at Jesus' command to abide and pray. Now John, in John 14 to 16, records some amazing teaching that Jesus gives his disciples in the upper room shortly before he was betrayed. Jesus was telling his disciples that he was leaving them and going back to his Father in order to prepare a place for them. He says in 14:3, "And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also." When his disciples expressed confusion about where he was going and how to get there, in John 14:6, Jesus said to him, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." No one comes to the Father except through Jesus. Jesus is the only way to the Father. Anyone who wants access to the Father must come through Jesus. Jesus wants us to be with him and with his Father throughout eternity, to enjoy his glory with his Father. But we must come through the way opened up to us by Jesus' blood. Now I remember reading this section of John for the very first time. I was downtown Minneapolis on a weekend retreat with my high school campus ministry, and what I read next blew me away. John 14 verse 12, "Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do. And greater works than these will he do, because I am going to the Father. Jesus prefaces this statement with truly, truly. He wants us to take note, to pay attention to what he's about to say, and he wants us to be doubly confident that what he says is true. He says, truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me, whoever believes in Jesus. Now that included me. I read that passage and I said, that's me. I believe in Jesus. Whoever believes in Jesus will do the works that he does. What did Jesus do? He fed thousands. He opened blind eyes. He made the lame walk. He cleansed lepers unclean. He set captives free from satanic bondage. He even raised the dead. Is Jesus saying that I get to do all of that? But he doesn't stop there, as if that's not enough. He said, greater works than these. Greater works than these will he do, because I am going to the Father. Greater? Greater than that? What could possibly be greater than all that Jesus did in his ministry here on earth? I couldn't believe what I was reading. I had to show someone. I had to tell someone. I grabbed my friend Jason, my dear friend Jason. I said, Jason, look at this. Have you read this? Look at this verse. This is what it says. That's for us today, now. Jesus wants to do great things through us. Look at the next verse, John 14, verse 13. Whatever you ask in my name, this will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. Ask me anything. Jesus invites us to ask him anything in his name, and he will do it to the glory of his Father. Now this tells us, he says, ask me. This tells us we can pray legitimately to Jesus directly. We can ask Jesus directly for anything. And he says, I will do it if you ask in my name. Now what does that mean? What does it mean to ask in the name of Jesus? Now a typical Christian prayer, you've probably heard Christians pray. They end their prayers often in Jesus' name. Amen. Is that some special magic word formula that when you say those words at the end of whatever you're praying, that it guarantees that now your prayers are going to get answered? Why do Christians pray like that? What does that mean? In Jesus' name. We're going to jump back Old Testament to get some background to what this means, what this would mean when Jesus said this. Deuteronomy 18. Verses 19 and 20, God told his people, whoever will not listen to my word that he, a prophet, shall speak in my name, I myself will require it of him. But the prophet who presumes to speak a word in my name that I have not commanded him to speak, or who speaks in the name of other gods, that same prophet shall die. God takes what is said in his name very seriously. If anyone presumes to speak in his name something God did not himself speak, the penalty was death. I am not to use God's name to give weight to what I want to say, when it's merely my words, when God has not said it. A person's name is tied to his reputation. The Lord's name is holy, is set apart. But his people have dragged his reputation through the mud by bearing his name while acting inconsistently with who he is. In Ezekiel chapter 36, God acts to defend the honor of his own name. He says, Ezekiel 36:22, Therefore, say to the house of Israel, thus says the Lord God, it is not for your sake, O house of Israel, that I am about to act, but for the sake of my holy name, which you have profaned among the nations to which you came. And I will vindicate the holiness of my great name, which has been profaned among the nations, and which you have profaned among them. And the nations will know that I am Yahweh, the Lord, declares the Lord God, when through you I vindicate my holiness before their eyes. God's name, God's own reputation is at stake. And he says, I am acting not to benefit you, although it will benefit you, but I am acting to vindicate the holiness of my reputation, my great name. Now, think of it this way. A steward was someone in biblical times who was a trusted servant to whom his master would delegate certain responsibilities in his absence. He had access to his master's resources. He could make decisions on behalf of his master. We might say he was given the ability to sign checks in his master's name. But he was a servant, and he was doing his master's business. And he was expected to have his master's best interest in mind. He was free to make decisions. He was free to sign his master's name, but he would be held accountable for those decisions upon his master's return. Jesus told a story in Luke 16 about a steward who had wasted his master's resources and was being called to account for his actions. Now, we could say that Jesus has entrusted to us the ability to sign checks in his name. To ask in Jesus' name is, as it were, to sign his name to our request, to represent him. To ask in Jesus' name is to ask consistent with who Jesus is. It's to ask for something he would himself ask his Father to do. That's what it means to ask in Jesus' name. It's to ask the things Jesus would ask of his Father. James tells us this, James 4:2, you do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your passions. Jesus says in John 15, abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. By this is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. Abide. Abide in me. Remain connected. Like a branch of a grapevine is connected to the vine, to the trunk, to the root. Jesus wants us to bear much fruit to the glory of God. But he knows that in order for us to be fruitful, a branch must be connected with the vine. It must continually draw its sustenance, its nourishment from the vine. It must be fed, supplied, connected to the vine. A disconnected branch will quickly wither and dry up. A dead, disconnected branch doesn't produce fruit. Rather, it's only good for fuel for the fire. The only way for us to remain fruitful is to remain in Jesus, connected to Jesus, to constantly be listening to Him, communing with Him. We're to draw strength and sustenance from Him. We're to be with Him, to enjoy Him being in us. Now, disconnected from Jesus, we can do nothing. Nothing good, nothing of eternal value. We're fruitless apart from Jesus. But if we remain connected, plugged into Jesus, in His Word, if His truth is in us, if His teaching is nourishing us, we can ask whatever we wish. And we will bear much fruit that glorifies the Father and shows that we are Jesus followers indeed. Abiding is the prerequisite for asking. If we're abiding in Jesus as a branch in the vine, we can ask whatever we wish, because our wishes begin to flow out of Jesus' own heart as we're connected to Him. Our wishes align with Jesus' own words. Our wishes will be to bear fruit for God, for His glory, to glorify the Father. Our wishes will truly begin to express the nature and name of Jesus. Jesus commands that we abide in Him, that we stay connected and talk with Him, pray to Him. He says in John 15, verse 16, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, He may give it to you." He commands that we ask the Father in His name, so that we could be fruitful in His name. Abide in me. Ask whatever you wish as you're connected, abiding in me, as you're seeking to glorify the Father. Ask, and I'll do it. Jesus emphasized the importance of prayer. He commanded us to be in prayer. And not only did He command it, but He modeled it for us. He made prayer a priority in His own ministry, in His own life. He, in Luke 5, found solitary places to pray alone. He prayed early in the morning. He prayed late into the evening. Probably not on the same day, but He did both of those things. On one occasion, it says He prayed all night long. He invited His close friends to pray with Him. Jesus took time to pray for the seemingly insignificant as people brought their children to Him, that He would lay His hands on them and pray for them. He made time for that. John 17 records Jesus' own lengthy prayer to His Father. Beautiful prayer, as He prays for us, you and me, His followers today. Jesus was honest, even emotional in His praying. But He always submitted His own human will to the will of His Father in heaven. Jesus not only commands us to pray, but He shows us by His own example how essential prayer is. One of the things that infuriated Jesus the most, that stirred Him up to zeal for His Father's house, was the clutter and commotion that deterred people from praying. Jesus showed us what it looks like to pray, and he taught his followers to pray. He taught his followers that they ought always to pray and not lose heart. He taught them that humility, not self-righteousness, was the appropriate way to approach his Father. He taught us to pray for deliverance, for strength and faithfulness, for protection from temptation. He taught us to pray for God to send more laborers into the evangelical harvest. He even taught us to pray for our enemies, for those who persecute us. He taught us not to pray in order to impress other people, but rather to pray privately and sincerely. He taught us not to make long prayers or pile up empty words in order to impress either God or man. He taught us to pray with persistence, with bold confidence, assured that our Father loves to give good gifts to his children who ask him. Luke 11, I tell you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. And the one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, it will be opened. What father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will instead of a fish give him a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, will he give him a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? If you are a believer in Jesus, you have a Heavenly Father who delights to give good gifts to all who ask him. Jesus encourages us, actually he commands us to ask in prayer, to ask the Father in his name. When Jesus' followers asked him in Luke 11, Lord, teach us to pray, he taught them, he gave them a model prayer. As recorded in Matthew 6, pray then like this, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Jesus invites his disciples to ask God, to address God as Father, because through Jesus, we are adopted into God's family as his children. As believers in Jesus, we become children of God. Now notice that this prayer is in the plural voice. It begins with our Father, and it continues with give us, forgive us, lead us, deliver us. We're to pray in secret, privately, between us and our Father alone, but there is an essential communal aspect to prayer. Even when we pray individually, we acknowledge that we are part of a blood-bought community of believers. We're not independent, we are interdependent. We're connected to one another. Jesus teaches us that our praying must be God-centered. We ought to start by acknowledging that God is above us, over us, sovereign and superior. He is enthroned in heaven, in glory. We ought to be pursuing his glory in our prayers, Remember in John 15, Jesus commands us to abide in Him so that we will be fruitful, ultimately so that God will be glorified. And He says, when that's your heart, ask whatever you want and I'll do it. We're to pray that God's name be treated with honor and awe, that it would be hallowed or treated as holy. We're to pray that His kingdom and His will might be fully realized. He is sovereign over all His creation, but much of His creation is in rebellion against Him. And we are to pray that all creation is brought back under His supreme authority. As God is obeyed by His heavenly armies, so we are to ask that we too would obey Him immediately, enthusiastically, completely. Really, we're asking here for Him to change our hearts, our desires, what we value most. Your will, Your kingdom, may that take first place in our hearts. May we obey as the angelic hosts obey. We're to ask Him for daily bread. Father, give us today what we need for today. We don't always know accurately what it is that we really need or what is best for us. So in this is implicit trust in His superior wisdom. Lord, give us what we need for today. And we may not know exactly what that is that we need. We may not ask for the things that we need, but we surrender to His better plan. Give us today our daily bread. And if you remember what Jesus taught us in John chapter 6, after He had fed thousands with a few loaves of bread, He says in John 6:27, "Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. My Father gives you the true bread from heaven, for the bread of God is He who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to Me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in Me shall never thirst." Father, give us Jesus. Give us Jesus, the bread of life for today. Sustain us in Jesus now, today. John 6:48, "I am the bread of life." Verse 51, "I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is My flesh." We are to abide in Jesus. We are to daily feed on Him, to draw daily nourishment from our connection with Him. And as we ask for daily nourishment, we are to daily ask for forgiveness, daily acknowledging that we continually fall short. We need the gospel applied daily. We need His mercies that are new every morning. In our daily connection with Him, we need His daily grace, daily cleansing. And we're to remind ourselves that as we have been freely forgiven, we ought freely to forgive. We have sinned and been freely forgiven by the amazing grace of God. We have been sinned against, and as followers of Jesus, we must freely forgive our brothers, our sisters, those who have sinned against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. We acknowledge that it is God who leads us wherever He deems best. And as His followers, we must follow. But we ask that He spare us from temptation. And when we are tempted, we ask that He would rescue us from evil. We need His strength to stand firm. Without His daily deliverance, we will turn each one of us to our own way. We will go astray and fall into evil. Remember, apart from Him, we can do nothing. So ask. Jesus commands that we come to Him in prayer, that we abide moment by moment in Him so that we will bear much fruit to the glory of the Father. He commands us to ask the Father because He loves to give good gifts to us, His children. We only have access to the Father through the finished work of our Lord Jesus, who died in our place to bring us to God. And Jesus said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in Me will also do the works that I do. And greater works than these will he do, because I am going to the Father." Jesus fed thousands. He opened blind eyes. He made lame people walk. He cleansed lepers. He set captives free from satanic bondage. He even raised the dead. When Jesus fed thousands, He broke bread and He gave it to His disciples to then give to others. Jesus has given us Himself, the true bread from heaven, and He intends that we pass Him on to others, that they too may have life in Him. Greater works than these will we do, because Jesus finished His work and sat down at the right hand of His Father in glory, and He is now at work in us and through us to do His work as He abides in us and we in Him. Whatever you ask in My name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask Me anything in My name, I will do it. Brothers, sisters, we have this ministry by the mercy of God. By the open statement of the truth, we proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord, and God shines through that word preached, proclaimed into blind hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. God opens blind hearts through us. God, who through Christ reconciled us to Himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. We are ambassadors for Christ. God making His appeal through us. Be reconciled to God. Ephesians 2 says, "But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved." Greater works than these will He do. I am the vine. You are the branches. Whoever abides in Me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from Me, you can do nothing. If you abide in Me and My words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. By this is My Father glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be My disciples. God, help us to abide in Jesus to stay connected, to draw our sustenance, to draw our nourishment day by day by day from Him, so that we are connected to the heart of God, so that we know what Your will is, and that we are eager for Your kingdom to come here on earth as it is in heaven. That we're hungry for more of You, and we're eager to overflow, as we have been given so much that we want to pass it on to others. That others would be resurrected from the dead, given new life in Christ. That blind eyes would be opened, blind hearts would be opened to see Jesus. That You would give life. That You would do the sovereign supernatural work of creating life in dead hearts, showing light to blind eyes, setting captives free, transferring us from the domain of darkness into the domain, the kingdom of Your beloved Son. And Lord, You give us the awesome privilege of being involved, being the conduit for Your grace to a hurting, lost, and desperate world. Lord, may we stay so connected to You that Your life flows through us and gives life to this world, to the people around us. Use us for Your glory, we ask it. For the glory of the Father, in the name and for the sake, for the reputation of Jesus, we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Thanks for joining us.